Chapter 11. Lexi's heart tugged as she looked out the car window at the beautiful scenery on Meadow Road. "Such a shame this is going to be a retail mall and parking lot soon," she said to Sprinkles, who was busy looking out the passenger window. Her thoughts turned to Nan's and the Ladies' Detective Club. Before leaving for the agility class, she'd packed them into Ruth's Oldsmobile with a thermos of coffee and a basket of pastries. She hoped they didn't get into trouble on their stakeout. Sprinkles thumped her tail on the seat, anxious to get out, as Lexi pulled into the Fur Fun Canine Center. She could barely wait for Lexi to open the passenger side door, wriggling through the small gap and leaping out before it was even all the way open. The agility area was set up with a tall ramp and some hoops. Today's training involved running up and down the ramp and jumping through the hoops at various levels. Each activity had a command, and Sprinkles was a fast learner and one of the faster and more agile dogs in the class. Lexi, not so much. Once again, she felt winded at the end of the lesson, reminding her of how much she needed to get on track with her own exercise program. After 40 grueling minutes, the class broke up, and Lexi headed out of the agility stadium. She could use a bottled water. But she had more important things to do, like find out what was down that hallway in the back where she'd seen Olivia the other day. She had the distinct feeling something secretive was going on down there. And with the news about the land development, it couldn't hurt to check it out. "Come on, Sprinkles, let's do some detecting." She tugged Sprinkles down the hall, following the path she'd taken before. Luckily, her classmates had gone in the other direction, and the halls were mostly empty, so there was no one to stop her. She paused at the mouth of the hallway where she'd heard Olivia talking to the mystery man. Should she venture down? The building was old, probably a warehouse at one time, and the floors were some type of industrial tile. Luckily, she had sneakers on so she wouldn't make any noise. She took a deep breath and started down the dark wood-paneled hall, the faint smell of baking dog food tickling her nose. The back area of the Fur Fun Canine Center was like a maze, with hallways that led to other hallways, all peppered with locked doors. Well, maybe they weren't all locked, but the few she'd quietly tried had been. What was going on back here? Lexi continued slowly down the hall, noticing that it intersected with a parallel hall about 10 feet ahead. She was contemplating whether she should go right or left at the end when she heard voices coming from the left.
"Can't let anyone know. We're so close," a man's voice whispered.
"If finds out about the food, our efforts will have been wasted."
Lexi recognized the upper crust twang of Olivia Banks' voice.
"Don't worry, I've taken care of that."
The man again. Lexi's heart kicked. They were coming her way. She realized she didn't have time to back down the hall without them seeing her. So she did the only thing she could think of.
"Sprinkles, no!" Lexi lunged back on the leash, jerking poor Sprinkles backwards, just as the couple rounded the corner.
"Again?" Olivia looked at Lexi, her perfectly plucked brows forming a delicate V on her forehead.
"What are you doing down here? These are our private offices," the man demanded.
Then he frowned at Olivia.
"You know her?"
"Sorry, my dog ran off and I was just retrieving her." Lexi stuck her hand for the man to shake. "I'm Lexi Baker. My dog, Sprinkles, and I are taking the agility class." The man eyed her dubiously before clasping her hand in his large, calloused paw and giving it a firm handshake.
"Steve Warren. I own the place."
"Nice to meet you," Lexi said. Steve and Olivia continued down the hall, back the way Lexi had come.
Lexi walked with them. Lexi noticed that Olivia clutched a large green hardcover book to her chest. The Book of Herbs. Nice to see you again. Where's your palm?
Oh, Farfel, she's back there in the...
Olivia broke off, looking at Steve. Kennel. He completed for her. Oh, maybe that's what Sprinkles was after. She probably smelled dogs. Is there a boarding kennel back there or something?
Yes,
Steve answered gruffly. What's with the herbs book? Are you into herbs? Lexi asked. Olivia's eyes darted over to Steve.
Yes, I mean, I have an herb garden as a hobby.
Oh. Lexi wondered why she had the book here. Are you interested too, Steve?
Me?
Steve looked at her out of the corner of his eye.
No, someone borrowed it from me and just returned it to me here, Olivia said before he could answer.
Lexi cleared her throat. I just discovered they are planning on developing all the land around here. Some retail mall or something? It's too bad. The land is so pretty. Steve's face turned hard.
Yeah, that's progress, I guess.
It sounds like you're not a fan. Steve shrugged.
I'm not. I like the open spaces, the fields, and wildlife. A lot of animals will be displaced with the construction.
Lexi's heart melted a little. Maybe the guy was just a nature lover. But I would think it would bring in a lot of extra traffic for the canine center, Lexi said. Steve shrugged.
Maybe, but I like being out here in the country. It's more private.
Well, it might be good for...
Olivia's phone chirped, cutting off what she was about to say, but not before Lexi noticed Steve shoot her a warning glare. What was that about? There was definitely something going on between them. Hello? What? Olivia frowned at the diamond-encrusted watch on her wrist. Oh, is that today? I'll be right there. She clicked off and shoved the phone in her coach purse. Sorry, I'm supposed to be at a hair appointment right now. I'm so bad with appointments, always mixing up the days. I have to run. Olivia clip-clopped away in a pair of purple suede Steve Madden wedges, leaving Lexi and Steve standing in the large entrance foyer.
Well, I think you can find your way out, Miss Baker.
Steve nodded toward the left, where the front door was.
Pleasure meeting you.
Lexi watched Steve walk away. He was tall and broad-shouldered, and the way he walked niggled something in Lexi's memory. She was at her car before she remembered what it was. Steve Warren was the man that Lexi had remembered during hypnosis, the one who had blocked her view of Regis ice cream. Lexi's suspicions of Steve and Olivia were put to rest the next day, when Nance called her at the bakery with news from their stakeout. We're on our way over with the proof to nail Winston. What? Lexi couldn't imagine what proof they had. Had they found him with the pictures from the photography store? From your stakeout? You'll just have to wait and see. Nance hung up on her. She hastily put together a plate of snickerdoodles and whoopie pies. She'd no sooner put the tray on one of the cafe tables when Ruth's car careened around the corner, grinding to a stop in front of the bakery. The four ladies jumped out, Nance with a pile of paper in her hand, Ida with a camera. Nance ran into the bakery, waving the papers. Look at these. She spread them out on the table. Thankfully, no customers were in the bakery, and Lexi could focus on the pictures. She looked down at them, her heart pumping with excitement as she went through the series. Winston, at a park with a large briefcase, then him handing it to a man, then the two men moving away from each other in different directions. Those are just some still photos we printed off from this video. Ida shoved the camera in front of Lexi's face. She watched as Winston gave the briefcase to the man, then walked away.
I can't wait to show this to Jack.
Nan's green eyes sparkled.
Let's FaceTime him with your iPhone.
Lexi pressed her lips together. The photos did seem suspicious, but what did they prove? Jack didn't like being summoned to talk on FaceTime unless it was critical. I'm not sure this is enough evidence to prove Winston was the killer. All it shows is him handing over a briefcase. We don't even know what's in it, Lexi said.
Why, that thing's obviously loaded with money. Just look at who he's handing it to.
Ida jabbed her index finger toward the face of the other man in the photo. Lexi squinted at it.
Who?
Ida gave an exasperated sigh.
Don't you recognize him? That's the notorious gangster, Clubs McGinty. Tell her, Ruth.
Yep, that's Clubs. I knew him quite well when I hung around with Nunzio.
Ruth ducked her head sheepishly.
He runs most of the illegal gambling around here.
Lexi's eyebrows rose at the mention of Nunzio Bartoli. Ruth had had a fling with the retired mobster and almost been arrested for his murder a while back. Lexi and the Ladies Detective Club had to pull out all the stops to find the real killer and to get to the bottom of why Nunzio was murdered.
Clearly, there's only one reason why Winston would be handing Clubs that briefcase.
Nance tapped her iPhone impatiently. Okay, I'll FaceTime Jack. But he's probably going to be mad at me for doing so. Lexi pulled out her iPhone and clicked the FaceTime app, then pressed Jack's ID, chewing her lip nervously as it rang.
Lexi, what's going on? Is something wrong?
Jack's concerned face filled her phone screen. No, I have Nans here. She has something important for you. Lexi handed the phone over to Nans like it was a hot potato.
Hi, Jack,
Nans yelled into the phone.
Mona, what's going on?
Jack's face turned from concerned to amused.
I have some important evidence for you in the Regis Banks case.
Case? There's no case. We determined it was an accidental death due to his food allergy.
Oh, I know, but once you hear what we found, I think you'll change your mind.
Jack's heavy sigh blared out from the phone.
Okay, but be quick. I have a call to go on.
We found out that a member of his family has some gambling trouble. Big trouble. And they needed money to get out of that trouble. Money that they'd get when Regis died.
That's not enough to prove he was murdered.
Nance continued on.
This person switched ice creams at the birthday party. We think the switch might have been captured by the photographer, Harry Wolfe. Tell me, did you find the bank's folder in Harry Wolfe's studio?
No. Jack's face took on a more interested look. It never turned up.
I thought so.
That's still not enough to prove murder, Jack said.
No, but this might be.
Nance pointed the iPhone screen at the pictures laid out on the table so Jack could see them.
That's the killer right there, meeting with Clubs McGinty and handing over a large briefcase, presumably filled with money. Money he got from killing his own father.
Those pictures are hard to see. Who is that?
Winston Banks, Nance announced. Are you going to arrest him?
Another sigh from the phone.
I'm afraid I can't.
Nan scrunched up her face and whipped the iPhone back to face her.
Why the heck not?
Because Winston Banks was found dead less than an hour ago.